I don't care who you are. That's sweet right there. Amen. Have you ever had a situation where you had a little child praying for something and you didn't want to discourage them because you knew what they were praying for was an impossibility? God hears the prayers of those little children. Amen. I think the Lord puts more emphasis and more attention on these children than we think He does. He looked at some Pharisees one day and he said, "Except you become as a little child, you shall not see the kingdom of God." And the Lord thinks very much of these children. As you sit here tonight and as they come forward here in just a few minutes, you're looking at the future of our church. Amen? And they're the ones that's going to take over when we're dead. And I'm glad it's a good-looking bunch. Amen? I don't know if they'll do better than us, but they'll look better than us. Amen? Why don't you take your Bible and turn with me tonight to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I'll tell you like Liz Taylor told her first husband, "I won't keep you long." Amen? And we'll gather around in this altar and have a dedication prayer here in just a few minutes. But I feel as a pastor that it's my job. I could preach to these babies tonight, but it wouldn't do any good. And they're more interested in the formula that they're sucking down. I'm watching several of them got a bottle in their mouth, and that's a good thing. Amen? But I could preach to these babies tonight, and it wouldn't do a whole lot of good. We said earlier that we like to refer to this as parent dedication and not baby dedication. There's something lacking in America today, and that's parenthood. We're living in a society where people like Hillary Clinton say that it takes a village to raise a child. God didn't ordain a village. He ordained a mama and a daddy. Amen. And I think it's time that we as God's people stood on our 2 feet and lifted our heads in the air and reclaimed our rights as parents to raise our children as we see fit and as the Bible teaches. Amen. Now listen, parents, pay attention to me tonight. I'm a little further down the road than you are. You may understand that how you raise these children will affect their lives. Do you agree? Yeah. But you got to understand, I'm a little farther now. I've got grandbabies. How you raise these children will not only affect their lives, but it's going to affect their children's lives and your grandchildren's lives. So what you do in these coming months and these coming years is vital in their lives. Somebody said that the first 2 years of life, the imprint of their life is formed and made. I think one of the greatest responsibilities in the world is that God give you a child and trust you with the care and the raising of that child. I mean, that's a big deal. We got people in America today who are having babies just to get more money from the government. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. They're having more babies just to get money from the government. We have daddies in America who have children they've never seen. Something's wrong. I think you ought to come outside the norm and make up your mind, "I'm going to raise my children. I'm going to be the mother and I'm going to be the father that God would have me be." In dedicating our children and bringing our children to the Lord, I believe that is an act of obedience, and probably one of the most beautiful pictures of that in the entire Word of God is Genesis chapter number 22, where God asked for Abraham to bring his son Isaac and offer him for a burnt offering. I want to read that story and share just a couple of thoughts with you tonight, and then we'll pray with these babies and we'll go eat. In Genesis chapter number 22, the Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning." Now notice, there was no question. Abraham didn't argue with God. Abraham didn't say, "Well, but I see it this way or I see it that way." And that's where we're living at in society today. Doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. Doesn't matter what God's thoughts on the idea of raising children are. Amen. We'll get into a little bit more of that later. But listen, hey, we need to get back to the place where what God says is all that matters. We don't need Oprah's help in raising our children. We don't need Dr. Phil's help in raising our children. We need to get back to Dr. Jesus and what the Bible said. Amen. He said in verse number 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.'" Now let me stop right there. He said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Two things jump out at me in that verse. Number one, he said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Abraham referred to what he was about to do. And if you know your Bible and you know Bible history, what a burnt offering was. He wasn't just fixing to lay his son on the altar and set fire to some wood up under. He was fixing to cut his son into pieces. He was fixing to quarter him up and lay him out on the altar and set fire to it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine taking one of your children? Can you imagine God even having the gall to ask you to do that to your child? God asked Abraham, didn't he? But what we found out later, that God didn't really want Isaac. He just wanted more Abraham. God wasn't going to let him hurt that baby. That was a baby of promise. That was a baby that God had years before promised Abraham and promised to multiply his seed through that baby. So I want you to notice that Abraham considered obeying God was an act of worship. We think about worship as a shout or an uplifted hand, and that certainly is worship, but obedience is worship. The Bible said that obedience is better than sacrifice. There's some verses in the Bible, especially for you parents, that tell you to train up your child. Amen? They tell you how to teach your child. And these are things that, these are not suggestions. These are commandments of God for you to raise these children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we ought to learn to be obedient. Amen. And then secondly, not only did he say that I and the lad go yonder and worship, but he said, "and come again to you." Now I believe with all my heart, and we'll see that as we read on in the story, Abraham was fully prepared to take the life of his son. And I believe with all my heart, he believed that if he did, God would raise him up. Because God had promised to multiply his seed through this child. So I don't think Abraham was as worried as we might think he might have been. He had full confidence in God. What verse was I at? 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. We'll get there in a minute. 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself.'" Now, if you've got the wrong Bible, there's a little word injected there between provide and himself, and that's the word for. But in our King James Bible, that word for is not in there. Why? Because God did not provide for himself a lamb. He provided himself and his son Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am," or "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I want to look at several things from this story tonight and try to encourage you. I think parents need encouraging today. Amen. We're living in a time where a friend of mine I used to work with, his little boy was learning to ride his bicycle. They didn't have a paved or a concrete driveway. They had a gravel driveway. And they took the training wheels off the bicycle, and the little boy was riding his bicycle in the gravel driveway. Well, learning to ride a bicycle, you fall once in a while. And he went to school and he had on a pair of shorts and he had stone bruises on his knees, on his legs. And we were on our job and we were working, and all of a sudden a police car pulled up and then another police car. And they walked up and they asked for the man by name. And I said, that's him right there. And they walked over to my friend. They put his hands behind his back and they handcuffed him and took him away. They took his little boy away from him. Took them months to get the child back. Over bicycle wrecks. I'm against child abuse. Amen. I catch somebody abusing a child, I'll report you myself. Amen. But there are places that the government does not belong. Right. Are you all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell the truth whether you like it or not.
Amen.
It's not the government's responsibility to see for the well-being of your child. It's your responsibility.
Amen.
And as parents, I want you to take that right, and I want you to use that right, and I want you to stand on that right. God did not give these precious little babies you're holding to the government. He gave them to you.
Yes,
so it's not your parents' responsibility.
Amen.
He didn't give them to your parents. He gave them to you. Didn't give them to your aunts or uncles. He gave them to you. He didn't give you to the foster care system. He gave them to you. So I want you to assume that responsibility. Some of you will think I'm mad and I'm fussing at these parents. And I'm not mad, but I may fuss at them just a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. I know times have changed. Times have certainly changed. Things are different. We go to the mall and my wife and I walk around. We'd get a Starbucks and hold hands. And boy, that's a hot date when you're 48. Amen. We'll go to the mall and walk around and look at the weirdos. If you want to see weirdos, go to the mall. And I always think one thing when I see these kids and all the gothic and the black fingernails and the black lips. And seen a girl one night, a little 14-year-old girl with a dog collar around her neck and a boy leading her through the mall. My first thought every time is not freak. My first thought is, where's your mama? Where's your daddy? God have mercy on the boy that puts a dog collar on my daughter and attempts to drag her through the mall. I'd drag him through the streets of town. We okay? Hey, we need some daddies that'll be daddy. We need men in America. Amen. We need some men that'll just flat out be men and say that ain't happening around here. Amen. I want to encourage you tonight to take responsibility, take those babies that you're holding in your hand, not for granted, but thankful to God that He gave them to you. And I want you to make a commitment unto the Lord tonight as we pray and dedicate these babies to God. I want you to commit to God that you're going to do the very best you can. Do the very best you can. Somebody said, well, I have this set of circumstances and this set of circumstances. Let me tell you something. I was raised in a single parent home. My mother's sitting here tonight. She raised two kids on her own. Worked two jobs. We spent more time with a babysitter than we spent with our mother. But our mother made the time we did spend with her. She made that time count. She made sure we was in church every time the doors were open. Are y'all listening? Let me say that again. She made sure we was in church every time the doors were open. I want to encourage you to raise these children in church. They need Sunday school. They need the children's ministry. And most of you, if you don't, I'm coming after you. These children are depending on you for their spiritual well-being. I promise you, how old are they when they go to kindergarten now? Is it five?
They go to kindergarten or pre-K at 5 years old. I guarantee you, you'll go out and you'll shop. You'll spend a month shopping for their first day in kindergarten. You'll go out and you'll put them on the bus or you'll take them to school. You'll take pictures and you'll make a big deal about them going to get a government education. I just want you to make as big a deal about them coming to the house of God to learn about the Son of God and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. I'd rather these babies know Christ. I'd rather these babies know Christ and the redemption of sin than I had them know calculus by the time they're five. Y'all all right? People putting all this emphasis on education. I'm not against education, but don't put it above their spiritual education. Amen? I saw a commercial on one of those telecommercials on television a while back. Maybe you've seen it. Your baby can read. Your baby can read. And they had these little kids on there 2 years old and they were reading. And I thought, that ain't right. That's just weird, man. When your child can outread you, amen. So I'm not against education. I'm not against teaching your baby to read. If you got a 2 year old that can read, wow. I'd rather have a 5 year old that can load a cap pistol, amen. Bury his Tonka truck in the mud and be normal. There's time for all that. It's coming. Amen. But I want to encourage you to raise these children the way God would have you to. Amen. I want to look at a couple of things through the scriptures tonight and point out some things about Abraham as he offered up his son. I want you to apply that tonight as you offer up your children. You're not offering your children for a burnt offering or a burnt sacrifice. You're offering these children tonight for a living sacrifice. Your desire, your greatest desire for your children, for these babies, is that God's will be done in their life. Amen. Now I want you to notice first off tonight, in this act of taking Isaac and giving him to God, this was a confirmation of Abraham's love for God. A confirmation of Abraham's love for God. God said, Abraham, I promised you a son. Now, Abraham, I want you to give that son back to me. Abraham trusted God. God had Abraham's 100% trust. And I want to encourage you tonight to trust the Lord with the lives of these children. They told my mother, Brother David, years ago, when we was in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we visited a bus route all day on Saturday. That's how I grew up. That's how we spent our lives. And they said, Sandra, you're going to learn those children. They're going to grow up and hate church. Yeah. I'm in church more than everybody here put together. Yeah. It didn't hurt me. Yeah. And it won't hurt them.
Amen.
Amen. If 5 days a week of school don't hurt them, 3 services a week in church certainly is not going to hurt them. Why don't you trust the Lord and what He said and give God an opportunity to do what God knows how to do? Hey, I believe God knew how to raise a child before Dr. Spock ever wrote the first book on child rearing. By the way, Dr. Spock never had a child of his own. Don't get advice from people who've never had children tell you how to raise yours. Well, don't you trust the Lord in that matter? Amen? And there's some things that God asks you to do in His Word that's hard to take Him at His Word. When Ashley was a baby, my wife and I hadn't known Christ. We hadn't been saved very long. And Ashley did about the first thing she ever did wrong. She probably only had 5 spankings in her life. And somebody's going to get mad over here. Let me just say it again. Spanking. Let me say it real loud. Spanking. God put that little fatty tissue in the right place for a reason. Amen. I know there's grandparents in here right now biting your fingernails going, oh, how dare he talk about spanking that precious baby. That precious baby will lie. Amen. They probably lying already. They crying like they're dying. All they want to do is be picked up. Amen. They already lying. Yeah, that precious baby will lie. That precious baby will do something, tell you it wasn't them. Hey, we got grandchildren that'll blame a poopy diaper on somebody else. Are you listening? Hey, listen, even though it's hard, I'll never forget the first time I spanked Ashley. I cried harder than she did. Can I get a witness? Anybody like that? I mean, brother, I spanked her, but I prayed with her, and I read scripture, and oh, I used to hate that when I was a kid. Mama beat me and then pray with me. Somehow that made the punishment worse. Amen. But I spanked that baby, and I went in my bedroom, buried my face in my pillow, and I cried like a baby. And I said, God, you can't really mean that you want me to do that. The Bible said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son.
Amen.
He said, if you beat him, you won't kill him.
That's right.
Amen. Would to God some parents would take the rod or a paddle or a belt or a paint stirrer from Walmart. Can I get a witness right there? And spank that little backside. Now listen, you argue with me all you want, but I grew up in America when they had paddles in school. There were certain things you didn't do in school when I was a kid. Why? Because you got your tail end tore up. We okay? This one's having a fit just thinking about getting a spanking. Amen. Her granddaddy done ruined her. Amen. Listen, kids run the school now. The teachers have no recourse. The proof's in the pudding. Look what we're turning out. We're turning out children that can't pass a college entry exam because there's been no discipline in their life. Hey, trust God. He knows what he's talking about. Amen. How many of you had spankings growing up? Are you mentally deranged? They got these stupid psychiatrists. Did your parents spank you as a child? What, didn't yours?
Yeah.
Amen. I think a good spanking work every now and then. Amen. Hey, trust the Lord in what he said. I'm not an advocate of child abuse or child beating. But there's nothing wrong with a good spanking every now and then. I used to get them on credit. My mother worked every day, and then she worked a second job. And if she came home and the babysitter's eyes were swelled up, that meant I was getting a whipping. It didn't matter that she might have got stung by a bee. My mama took it that she had been crying. She walk in the door, go to your room. I knew what that was for. I would walk in my bedroom, undo my belt, unzip my pants, and just lean down across the bed. I knew what was coming. My mother would not whoop blue jeans. She got fresh honey when she whooped, amen. Not a scar on my body from it. Not a night terror in my bed from it. I'm thankful I had a mother who was willing to trust God and take him at his word, amen. Abraham taking Isaac and putting him on that altar confirmed his love for God. He loved God enough to trust God at what he said. Now, Dustin, believe it or not, and you won't even want to think about that now, but it's not going to be long. You're going to blink your eyes and turn around, and there's going to be some ratty-haired boy standing at your door wanting to put her in the car and take her down the road. You better trust God and Smith and Wesson. Amen. Amen. It was a confirmation of his love for God. And I want you to confirm your love for God as you bring these babies. This shouldn't just be a motion or an act or a ceremony we go through. This ought to be something real in our heart. As I pray and ask God to bless these babies and to touch their lives and use them, you ought to pray every single day, God, help me in raising this child. Now listen, when they're the size of flour, no big deal. Change their diaper, stick a bottle in their mouth. About all there is to it. Nothing to it. Anybody can take care of one of them except me. I had the grandbaby the other day, and she went home, and Ashley went to change her diaper, and she busted out laughing. I'd put her diaper on backwards. I studied it for 10 minutes. The back looked just like the face. It didn't have no tag. Fruit of the Loom, thank God. God knew me in, amen? Thank God we got a tag. We know what's the front. I put it on backwards, amen? Baby didn't fuss, amen, so I guess that was all right. But there's going to come a day when raising that little girl is going to get confusing. She's going to be a teenager. And you're going to go, what do I do? And you need to trust God for his guidance and for his strength and for his help, amen? I want you to confirm your love for God as you come tonight. Not only was Abraham confirming his love for God, but Abraham was clarifying the fact that Isaac actually belonged to God. He was clarifying the fact that Isaac actually belonged to God. Listen, do you know what this is? I just love holding her, and this is a good excuse. Do you know what this is? This is God's creation. This is what the doctor said could not be. There it is. God had something else in mind. God has placed this baby not in your ownership, but in your care. She belongs to Him. And one of these days, if she's taught right and she's brought to church like she ought to be, she's going to get convicted of her sin. Amen. Not right now because she's innocent. But one day she'll come to the knowledge that everybody needs Jesus and she'll get saved. I ain't got a doubt about that in my mind. But you need to understand, this is not yours to do what you want with. And if you don't believe me, there's coming a day called the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for how you raised these children. Brother Broderick, you're going to give an account for this little fella and how you made decisions for his life and times when you should have said no and you didn't say no. And if he turns out rotten and awful, God's going to say, hey, I gave him, you were a steward of this child. I gave him to you to take care of and to raise and to nurture. Hey, we need to understand tonight, not only in dedicating these babies, confirming our love to God, but clarifying that these children already belong to God. Amen. Isn't it amazing that He loved you and thought enough about you to put these in your family? Amen. Give me some grandparents tonight. I need some help. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God did that? Amen. I thought the greatest thing in the world was the day they put my babies in my hand, but then they put grandbabies in my hand. I mean, that's like a cherry on top right there. Amen. What a blessing, man, that God has entrusted us. God, these are some of the prettiest babies I've ever seen in my life. Look at that little black-headed girl right there. Beautiful. Delilah, right? Man, isn't that something? God needed somebody to take care of that baby. He chose you guys to do it. What an honor. And we ought to consider it an honor. I know there's days, and you don't think it now, but there's days you go and choke them and take them back. But God has a strict no return policy, amen? But right now we ought to be grateful that God's placed them in our care, amen? And we ought to realize every day that these children belong to Him, and we ought to do our best to raise them the way that we think that He would want us to. Abraham is confirming his love to God and his trust for God. He's clarifying that Isaac already belongs to God. And then, not only that, he's committing. He's committing to be the kind of parent God wants him to be. He's committing. You know what being a good parent takes? It takes commitment. Part of the problem with the youth of America is a lack of commitment out of parents. Amen. Commitment to being a godly parent. Do you know what that means? Every now and then you must just say no. My mother used to say it all the time. I thought it was her favorite word. No, 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 no. And my favorite word was why. Why, 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 why? And her answer to that, anybody know? Thank you very much. She didn't need a reason. She was mama. And by the way, you don't need a reason. Your mama and your daddy. Every now and then, you're just going to have to say no. Well, everybody else is. Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
All my friends are.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
All my friends got tattoos.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
All my friends got bones in their nose and spikes through their tongues. And
yeah.
Hey, I'm smiling. This is my best Joel Osteen. No! Do you understand that these children, right now they're babies, but when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, they're not old enough to make decisions for themselves?
Amen.
Amen. You're going to have to make some decisions for them. You're going to, let me say it again, you're going to have to make some decisions for them. And I know how much you love your children. I love mine. Saying no is one of the hardest things in the world. But my children are here tonight and in church. All three of them, they're grown. The last one's fixing to get married in May. Oh, y'all pray for me. But I believe they're here tonight and still loving God and still serving God because I was committed to saying no. I was committed to saying no. Abraham was committed to being a godly parent, doing exactly what God would have him do. I had a nosy mama. Anybody else have a nosy mama? When I was talking to my girlfriend, who is now my wife, on the phone, I could hear my wife, my mother, breathing on the other line. And she'd say, well, you don't have anything to say to her you don't want me to hear, do you? And I was thinking, yeah. She'd go through my sock drawer and find my love notes. She'd read them. Well, that's an invasion of your privacy. I tell my mama, that's private. She said, you didn't make payment on this app. You want private, get a job. Get your own house. Lock your own door. I'd lock my bedroom door. Mama says, don't you lock that door, boy. Amen. You say, you think we should be strict parents? I think you should be strict parents. Listen, I grew up about the most dangerous thing out there. That I ever came in contact with was marijuana, yeah. Beer. Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Man, these kids are facing methamphetamine, chemical drugs. Some of them, they do them one time, take their life. AIDS, all kind of sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to grow up, they go to public school, they're going to go to school where girls are kissing each other in the hall.
On,
it's different than it was when I grew up. Yeah, I think you need to be stricter.
Amen.
Amen. I know your heart's desire is to see them turn out right, but it's going to depend on your commitment to God and your commitment to being a godly parent. Amen. Hey, Daddy, be Daddy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That first little boy comes around, be cleaning your shotgun when he gets
Amen.
There. Put the fear of God in him. Amen. And don't you dare take that little 15-year-old girl and put her in the car and turn her loose with some 16-year-old boy. If you do that, you are an idiot. Every man in this room is going, you're right, you're right. I remember when I was 16. Her daddy must have been a fool. Are y'all all right? Oh, and she'll fuss. Hey, mama, if you got a good daddy at home, back him. Don't be devious and work behind his back so that the little girl can have her way. You commit too and say, your daddy said no. And if daddy said no, that's the end of the line. Don't let your children play one against the other. They're politicians at an early age. My children never came to me and said, Daddy, can I? No, never. Daddy, Mama said it was okay if it's okay with you. You know what they're doing? They're playing the mama card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I was wise enough to say, I don't give a flip what your mother said.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
And my wife would do the same thing. They didn't get away with that very often. They might have a few times, but not very often. What you're doing tonight takes commitment. These children are growing up in a harsh world, in a world that cares nothing about this book. They care nothing about this church. They care nothing about this God. But evidently you do. Or you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have dressed that baby in the prettiest little dress or that little boy in the sharpest little suit or whatever it is they're wearing tonight. Y'all made a big deal out of this. So it must mean something to you. You've got parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family that you invited here to be a part of this. So it must mean something to you. Don't make me 10 years down the road come back and remind you of what you did tonight. Amen. I know, I'm going to wrap it up in a second. I know children tonight who are now grown, where daddy and mama, when the babies were young, they got sideways a little bit with God or upset with the preacher or upset with the church over something. They just got out and chose to raise their children. Mom and daddy saved on their way to heaven. kids don't know nothing about God. What a sad day that's going to be. Are y'all listening? I wouldn't raise my children in church as long as the preacher don't hurt my feelings. I wouldn't raise my children in church as long as nobody in church ever says anything, doesn't say anything about me. I'd make a commitment tonight. I'm going to raise my kids the way God would have me to, no matter what anybody else does or what anybody else says. But it's going to take real commitment. Real commitment. And it's a long commitment. You're looking at 19, 20, 21, if they go to college. Oh, Lord. My kid said, Daddy, should I go to college? No, just move. I'm kidding. I didn't say that, no. But you're looking at 20 years of your life. Man, that's an investment. That's an investment. But boy, the dividends are wonderful. Tonight during fellowship, while you were shaking hands, there's a little black-headed boy, just turned 6 years old in a tie. He come and stood right there and he looked up at me and he said, come here, Papa. I bend over and he hugged my neck. You know what he said? He said, I love you so much. That's worth it all right there. That's worth it all right there. Amen. Abraham was confirming his love for God. He was clarifying that Isaac already belonged to God. He was committing to being a godly parent. And then lastly, and I'm done, he was claiming what God had already promised. He was claiming what God had already promised. You see, God had never lied to Abraham. Abraham didn't have this child till he was a very old man. But years before, God had promised him. He said, Abraham, I want you to look up at the stars. Tell me how many they are. He said, man, I can't count them stars. God said, well, that's how much I'm going to multiply your seed. Look at the sands on the seashore. Tell me how many grains there are. Abraham said, God, I can't count the grains of sand. He said, that's how I'm going to multiply your seed. This was that seed. This was that promised son. Now, if Abraham walked up that hill and killed that boy and God left him dead, that means God lied to Abraham, didn't it? Abraham grabbed hold of a promise. I want you to grab hold of one tonight. It's found in the book of Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Which way is that, preacher? The Bible will tell you. The Bible will show you exactly which way you should go. Seek counsel. Seek counsel, not from a guidance counselor at school. Not for some quack psychiatrist. Get godly counsel and spiritual counsel. God's been turning out good kids for a long time. His ways may be old-fashioned, but His ways work. Amen. I want our parents with our babies to stand at their feet tonight. I'm going to call your names one at a time. And as I do, I want you to come, Mom and Dad, and bring the baby. And we want to present them with their first Bible. And then as I do, I want you to line up starting down there on that end and line up across the altar here with these babies. And we're going to dedicate them to the Lord. If they want to cry, baby, let them cry. She's okay. Brent and Becca, where y'all at? Y'all to bring Braden. Congratulations, guys. Go right down there. Sister Lisa Sanchez and Matthew. She's just like her daddy, ain't she? Brother Broderick, Miss Michelle, and little Asher, amen. Congratulations, guys. I love y'all. It's an honor to be your preacher.
David and Ashley. And Grace, Harley, you can come too. Come on, buddy. You prayed that baby in here. I love you. Brother Nick and Amber Clausen and Delilah. Congratulations. I love you, Amber. Brother Justin and Stephanie Brookins and Jonas. I love y'all. God knows what He's doing. I can't see. Oh, Cheyenne. Miss Kathy, come on. Got crying, can't see. Love you guys. Justin and Vanessa Blair. And Delilah. I want y'all to look at this baby. She is beautiful. Congratulations, guys. Love y'all. What's that say? Brandy. Paul and Brandy. And Layla. Amen. Congratulations. I love y'all. Michael and Jamie and Caden. Is that the one I'm missing? Somebody was not here tonight. Okay, that's the one. Don and Candace Major. And little Samuel. I love y'all. Michael and Jamie Carr. And Nathan. I'm missing that one. Finally. Dustin and Ashley Dunlop. And Carly. Amen. I love you guys. This is my family right here. I love you. Right here, Dustin. Now listen, we're going to pray and dedicate these babies to the Lord. And I want to do something special tonight as we have the parents bow here in the altar with the babies. I'm going to pray the dedication prayer. But I want to invite, if there's grandparents here tonight and you'd like to come pray with us, why don't you come? Come on, grandmas and granddads. Both sides. We'll make room down here. Y'all come on. Let's just bow right here in the altar, guys, and we'll pray.